Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you Thursday, March the 4th, 2021, 10 and a half minutes past the hour. I'll be with you for two solid hours this morning, and then Glenn Coble will be on from 10 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Swap Shop today from 12:15 to 1 o'clock. Now, we don't have any guests this morning, but a lot to talk about as we go through the next two solid hours here. A lot of thank yous this morning here on the station. The Marion Star, if you get today's Marion Star, there was an article run that had a lot to do with Mayor Schertzer, his appearance on this program yesterday. So I thank the Marion Star, as always, for including our interview and including our station's name and giving us credit for what we did. And I think it's on the front page of the paper today. So there you go. We thank the Marion Star for that. And that story is just going to go on and on and on. As we were out last night doing our remote, it was a topic of conversation with several people I was with. I think this is, you know, there are some local stories that people kind of glaze over. I think internally in the city, they're more talked about than actually on the whole. But this is one of those stories that people are really confused about, and it seems like there are some people in the city who are at complete odds about what happened. But I think we'll get to the bottom of it and we'll find out exactly what happened. But again, thank you to the Marion Star. So if you pick up the Star today, I think we are mentioned in there, and I really, really, really do appreciate that. I don't think people realize it's not this way anymore, thank goodness, because of the great staff over there at the Star. But for many, many years, there was a big war between radio and newspaper here in Marion. The Star was really the only newspaper after broadcasting radio came in. So it's always been the Star, but different people have run the Star over the years. And a few of the people who have run the Star were not so pleased with the radio station and did not cover it for a long time because of the competition. I think it was sponsorship competition always. Now, we have supporters here at this station. We don't have sponsors. We run more like PBS would run than NBC. But I've always had a good relationship with the Star in the 7 years this station has been on the air, and previously working at one other television station and two other radio stations in this city. I never really had any trouble with the Star. They were always very nice to me. Now, I think sometimes they don't run things because it's a radio story, but you know, that happens. We feel the same way about newspapers, but it was a big deal. The point of this story is it was such a big deal. There are stories, and I don't know if there's any way to document this, but when radio first came to Marion and really first started to succeed in the 40s and 50s, the editor of the Marion Star used to be on record as saying he was going to go down to the radio station and tear the place down brick by brick. That's the animosity that existed between the two in the beginning, because radio could get the news out immediately. If somebody called the radio station with a news tip and the radio station could verify the news tip, they could go on the air right then and tell you about it. The Star, now remember, this is the days before internet. The Star in those days, if a news tip came in and they verified it, they still had to write the story, send it to the printer, get it printed, and get it delivered. And a lot of times that wouldn't happen until the next day. So I think they always resented the radio station for the immediacy that they were able to get the story out, which the Star was not always able to do. Now, I will say, if you go back to those days, the Star always had a more in-depth story. I think written publications just tend to have a more in-depth story than radio had in those days. I think that's changed a little bit because we do long-form interviews here, so a 45-minute interview is obviously a little more in-depth than an article. But in those days, radio really didn't operate in that way. They weren't so much into news interviews. They were into news stories, but not so much news interviews. So, you know, things have their pluses and minuses, but it's nice to have a nice relationship with them, and I thank them for running that article today, because the point is, it's not really so much about radio or newspaper or who did it or where it came from. It's let's let most people, the most people we can, know about it. If you didn't happen to hear that interview yesterday on this station, well, hopefully you'll read about it today in the Star, and hear what the mayor had to say. It's a fascinating story about $1.28 million. That's kind of the point here at this particular point. So right off the bat here, we want to thank the Marion Star. And if you want to read that article, you can buy the newspaper today or go online if you have one of those online subscriptions. So thank you to the Marion Star. Now, last night, we did our annual remote from Stewart's Root Beer. It was the 95th season opening last night, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun there last night. We had Mary Ellen Withrow. She was there. Angie Evers was there. Abby was there, and Michelle, the owner, was there, and we had a really good time. There were no incidents. Now, I was checking my Facebook this morning, social media, and some people were asking if there was an incident like happened last year at the grand opening. Now, if you don't remember, I'll tell you about this incident that happened last year very quickly. And it was a silly incident and a total mistake, but here's what happened last year. Last year, we were doing the remote from Stewart's. And the inside is a very small area. So we were all seated at the counter. Now, as I remember it, from left to right, it was Abby, me, Mary Ellen, and Sean, and Michelle was back behind the counter last year. And what happened was, I was talking to Abby on air. So I had my back turned to Mary Ellen and Sean and Michelle, who were having a conversation behind me off the air. And I'm having the conversation with Abby on the air. Well, what happened was I started to notice that our connection to the station was not connecting well, that for some reason we were losing connection. So I was trying to get Sean's attention because he was the one who could fix this. And I didn't want to say anything on the air because I didn't want, you don't want to say, hey, something's broken on the air. So I'm trying to get his attention, and I can't get his attention because he's engaged in this conversation with Mary Ellen and Michelle. So after about 5 minutes of this, I figure I'm just going to have to say something because he's not paying attention and our connection is not getting any better. So I turned and I said, pay attention. That's all I said, pay attention. Well, Mary Ellen had her back to me, and I think she thought that I was saying pay attention to her because she was having a conversation with Michelle and Sean, which was not the case at all. And I remember she turned around and I said, no, I was, saying that to Sean because the connection was bad, and we all laughed. So that's kind of become a running joke that I yelled at Mary Ellen last year, but it didn't happen. And obviously there was never any ill will involved in that. And last night I had a great time with Mary Ellen. And I want to say some things about Mary Ellen as the broadcast goes on here this morning. But also want to say some things about the people who were there last night. Angie and Abby and Michelle and the whole group. Because it was, first of all, the weather was great. I believe it was well over 50 degrees when we got there. And as opposed to the year before, when it was just freezing, it was great. I don't think there was one concern last night regarding the weather. I don't think anybody said anything about cold weather. I don't think anybody said anything about it being cold where we were. No issues with that last night at all. Now, also, I want to thank Michelle over there at Stewart's because, and her staff, because when we went in, she had heaters on the floor over where we were, just in case it would have turned out like last year. So she had heaters ready to go. It was a very busy night there. Now, this is also important to mention. When I pulled in, Angie and Mary Ellen had ridden over with me. So when I pulled in with Angie and Mary Ellen, every spot was filled. A matter of fact, not only was every spot filled at Stewart's, there were cars parked around the edge there, around the fences. It was that busy last night. It was super busy. And to see a business doing that well is great. But here's what I will say. You would have never known that. And we were inside while this was all going on. You would have never known that that was going on. The staff was so professional. The staff was so, they just knew what they were doing. They had smiles on their faces. They were kind to us. They took our order and fed us and gave us, refilled our drinks. They just couldn't have been any better. And I was so impressed. And I think Mary Ellen and Angie were also, and I'm sure Abby felt the same way. I just happened to talk to Mary Ellen and Angie about this, about how great that staff was. And that staff is mostly made up of high school kids. And, you know, for everything that's said about the work ethic of young people, you would not have noticed that last night. These kids were working hard. They were getting it done and having fun doing it. And I think that's very important. And I think that all starts at the top. So I've got to give that credit to Michelle, who not only is the owner, but is there, I think, just about every day running the place, which that takes a big chunk of your life. So my Cubs cap is off to Michelle and her staff over at Stewart's because you don't see that a whole lot. And last night, I think, was really the first time I had seen them under that kind of pressure. Or I don't know. They didn't seem like it was pressure. But when you look at it, every slot was filled. The place was packed. It's opening night. And we're doing a radio show inside. And you would not have known there was a bit of stress inside. So I tip my Cubs cap to that particular group last night. And I got to meet Michelle's mother. Now, see, now there is a real sign of a good family, that Michelle's mother was in there just helping out last night. And I think she came around and had a conversation with Mary Ellen. Just a very sweet, nice woman. So it was nice to finally meet her last night. So, and also Michelle's son was there, Dawson, who has been on. I got to see him, and he's always just the kindest a kid you would ever want to meet. So, absolute, nothing but nice things to say about the staff over there last night. And we do that. We don't do that for money or to attract business over to Stewart's, because obviously they don't need that. They're doing fine on their own. We do it because it's historic. And we are into history at this station, and Stewart's is the longest-running restaurant in Marion. And it's also very unique. I believe it's the last place that has car hops in Marion. 95 years. We finally got the word yesterday. It is 95 years that the Marion location has been open. Pearl Levine started it back in 1926. So 95 years they have been in operation, and I thank them for everything they did for us last night, all the kindnesses they did for us, and it was just absolutely great. Now, Mary Ellen signed a mug last night. Now, I don't know if this will be on display over there, but that was fun because 2 years ago, we took Mary Ellen up to Tony Paco's, and she signed a bun that is on display at Tony Paco's in Toledo. So it's nice to do something in Marion like that, because as many people know, Mary Ellen Withrow, being Treasurer of the United States, has signed more currency than anybody in history. She's in the Guinness Book of World Records for signing more currency than anybody. So she's got quite the famous signature, and it's still there. And she signed a mug last night, and it was given to Stewart's, and it will be hopefully on display there for many, many years to come. And it's hard to sign a mug, but it's Mary Ellen's signature as it appeared on the money. So that was great. And hopefully we'll get them a picture, because Angie was doing a great job of taking pictures. Hopefully we'll get them a picture of Mary Ellen signing the mug and Mary Ellen holding the final signed mug picture that they can put with the mug and do whatever they wish with it. Maybe commemorate the occasion of the 95th opening of Stewart's. I think I said this late last year when I was, where was I? I was, oh geez, it just slipped out of my head. When I was up on Lake, where were we? What am I forgetting here? It's the island that everybody goes to, up by Sandusky. What is the thing called? Gosh, why has that slipped out of my head? I had a great time up there last fall, beginning of October. Where is it everybody goes? What is the island that everybody goes to in Ohio? You know, you take the ferry over, and there's all kinds of stuff over there. There's stores and historic exhibits. What restaurants? What am I thinking of? Yeah, hopefully this is the answer. I don't know how this has slipped out of my head. Go ahead, caller.
Sorry, the official geography geek heard your query. Is it Kelly's Island? That's the one I'm thinking of.
It's close to Kelly's Island. It's in the same area.
I mean, it's not King's Island, which, of course, is now owned by Cedar Point, because that would be by Cincinnati.
No, not King's Island. I'm trying to think of...
That was a joke. You're supposed to laugh at that one.
Well, I got what you were saying. I'm just...
Cedar Point, which is up by there, bought King's Island, so... But Kelly's is the one that comes to mind.
A listener just sent it to me. Putin Bay.
Yeah, Putin Bay. Yeah, the same. It's a beautiful area. People don't realize how nice that area is.
Yeah, it was put.
East Drive from Marion.
Yeah, Putin Bay. But Adam, I was going to ask you. Did you get a chance to listen to the Stewart's broadcast last night?
Yeah, part of it. It just wasn't good for my diet though, because suddenly I was craving carbohydrates and dairy products and. Oh, I just thought of a joke for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Do you think Donald Trump likes Putin Bay because it starts with Putin? I just thought about that. You know how much I love words. It just starts, it looks like Putin Bay. So maybe Donald Trump goes up there. Maybe he golfs up there.
You'll have to send that into Colbert.
That's a good joke. I just kind of came off the top of my head. I wrote a little poem last night on Facebook about Dr. Seuss.
Well, I was going to bring this up before we get back to Dr. Seuss, because I think that's worth talking about. But you listened to it. I mean, obviously there was a lot of noise. Stewart's was extremely...
Yeah, it was, but it was busy. I mean, Michelle, you know how I support local businesses, and call her Michelle, no relation to Steve, but both of them. They may not be related, but they're similar in that they are great local people that we are proud to have in a business association with.
So
give them your money, please.
Yes, as far as hearing me and Mary Ellen and everybody, could you still hear what we were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, the noise, I think, just added to the effect, kind of like hearing a sporting event. I mean, you want to hear the crowd. It certainly seemed like it was hopping in there.
It was so as long as you could hear us, that as background noise,
yeah,
it's just
weird. I wouldn't say it had the great sound quality, but that's going to happen when you radio business. You call it a remote, or you call it a broadcast from a business or some other locale. But I think, considering the circumstances, I mean, Nate did a great job. Took a nice photo there.
Oh, absolutely.
So he's willing to step in for anything we ask him to do. I mean, he's a great find.
So for people who want to listen, do you know when it'll be up on the website?
I'm going to work on that right now because I'm too busy yapping with my geography expertise. And then a little pun that I just thought. I never, all my time, I never thought about that. But it's like, goodness sakes, what a great joke.
Now tell me about Dr. Seuss.
It'll, It'll be all by 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay, 9 o'clock. The website, wwgh1071.com, the Stewart's remote. Now, tell me about Dr. Seuss.
Well, I was wondering about if, you know how I feel about the political correctness gone crazy and the cancel culture, that I don't agree with it. And I was even talking to Ron, our resident presidentologist, of course, while I was at the gym yesterday. And he and I agree on this, because it was kind of brushed under the rug a bit yesterday on his show with Glenn, which I can understand. But it's just gotten totally out of hand. So I was wondering, okay, I doubt I'm going to agree with this, but what exactly is offensive about the Mulberry Street book? I'm not as familiar with that one as I am the Cat in the Hat, because I used to love Dr. Seuss. And you know, Dr. Seuss, he rhymes, he kind of tells puns, the same kind of thing that I do. So you can imagine I was a big fan of his, but it's been a long time since I was in the age group that would read those books. You know, many, many, many years. I hate to say half a century. And so I went ahead and looked at a video where a lady was reading the Mulberry Street book. And so I found what I think might be the offensive part. I don't know what else could be offensive, but I found one part that could be. I don't think that it is. In fact, I think it actually celebrates the ethnicity that is being referred to. So I heard the lady read the book, and you could see the words while she was reading it. So of course I made a Facebook posting indicating how ridiculous this is. But I said, okay, Dr. Seuss rhymes. You know, I'm pretty good at rhyming. I'm good at puns and alliteration. So I'll make a little rhyme about the book, and also invite people to watch the video. And not only that, to make one of the rhymes, I kind of borrowed from one of your guests, one of my favorite celebrities, Florence, Mary, or Marla Gibbs. You know, she says child, right? She calls everybody child, but it's kind of an abbreviation for child. So I use that as part of my rhyme. So if you're listening, I thank you for saying that, because every time you do, I giggle. And I've actually used it to write a little poem. So if you did, I'll be happy to recite it, Scott. It's just about 10 lines.
Oh, go ahead.
And if you didn't see it. So anyway, this is what happened. I was researching to see what might be offensive about Mulberry Street, knowing that I'm sure it would be ridiculous. And of course it was. And so I wrote a little poem, and here I'm just reading it right from my Facebook. So if you're connected with me on Facebook, just scroll through all my other postings and all my little pictures and my gym selfies, and you'll see it. So here we go. Let me pull this. I'm just reading from my screen here. Having been a while since I was a child, and thank you, Marla Gibbs. Having been a while since I was a child, my search engine took a look so I could find this book. I know I'm fairly smart, and found the possibly objectionable part. Should this book be one to ban, since it speaks of an Asian man? I think not, and encourage you to show this video to a tot.
Well, it's good. It's good, and I think, you know, things... But see, here's the thing that I don't understand about this whole thing, and I think I said it yesterday. How can you ban a book? I'm not really sure how this happened.
I read in school that America, you know, I learned in school, as you did also, and, you know, you have a attachment, you are in the education business, one of your many, many endeavors between the groceries and the groceries being bagged and the celebrities being interviewed and the radio paperwork. People don't realize how much behind-the-scenes stuff is in a radio station, but I can assure people that's a full-time job for you and about half a full-time job for me. The book burning, book banning, except in extreme circumstances, like we were talking about Amos and Andy yesterday, that's entirely different league. That's not what we do in this country. America was founded on freedom of speech, and as I posted on Facebook umpteen times, if we don't have that, we have no America. And that applies to these things.
I guess
Dr. Seuss, how dare that they even think about banning that, especially since the passage I'm referring to, that is not offensive. What it says is it talks about a Chinese man eating with sticks. That, to me, celebrates Asian culture. As you know, I love Asian food. I personally don't like chopsticks because I'm kind of clumsy. I just use a knife and fork. But like in Thailand, they don't use chopsticks, for example. But in Japan and China, people generally do. And some Americans like to eat with chopsticks just to add to the experience. That celebrates their culture. It's to me, it's like saying an Italian man eating spaghetti. That's part of their culture. Food and methods of eating are part of an ethnicity's culture, and if we don't have that, we are generic.
That's how we only have
identities as Americans, and that celebrates Asians, especially with me, with my love of Asian food. It's like, well, cool, Dr. Seuss is referring to one of my favorite kinds of food, and a healthy kind of food also. And how dare somebody think that that's offensive, because it's not. It's opposite, actually the other way around.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, I'm coming at this more from a literal point. I mean, I don't understand how you ban a book. I mean, I assume the Dr. Seuss company is...
Yeah, I guess what they're banning, I guess they're not publishing. I'm not sure. I mean, I hear different things, and I hear on eBay these books are selling for hundreds of dollars. I mean, who knows what? But it's generated controversy, and people are thinking that it's offensive. And it is, some of the stuff is offensive. Yes, Amos and Andy is offensive. I have no disagreement with that whatsoever. This is not offensive. In fact, I'm offended that people could be offended, because it celebrates a great culture that we are so happy to be part of in this country.
But what I'm saying is I'm absolutely almost positive here that the Dr. Seuss company is a private company, and they are the ones paying to manufacture these books.
Behind the scenes, I'm not really sure, because I hear different things. But my beef, Scott, is that how this could be found to be offensive, how they are listening to these political correct wackos, and that's what they are. They are absolute wackos. And if that offends anybody, I'm not even going to apologize. Reasonable amounts of political correctness are one thing. This is complete, lack of a better term, wackoness. I can't think of a better term for this.
But, you know, I think this is what America is, though, because the people who feel it is offensive are allowed to say that.
And I respect their viewpoint.
Right.
But I think that they are completely... bonkers.
And you are allowed to say that.
Exactly. I don't say anything offensive or, again, words you can't say on the radio, so best I can think of is bonkers.
Right, so we get to that point, and based upon that, I think the private company that manufactures these books will decide what to do.
But they're making a very dumb decision, especially the sentimental value here. Again, I talked about celebrating Asian culture, which I'm a fan of. No secret, I love Asian food. I mean, most Americans do, but I'm especially fond of it. You know, I love rhymes, alliterations, puns. I love language, you know, a bit like a G-rated version of George Carlin, I guess. And the fact that Dr. Seuss spoke in rhymes, he kind of made up these words and had these cute pictures, the cat with the big hat, I just kind of brought me back to my childhood, how much I enjoyed those books.
Right, here's what I think, though. I think a lot of times we are, we're at odds about words. And I don't know that the Dr. Seuss company has said that they're going to stop manufacturing these books.
Yeah, exactly what's happening, I don't know. Just the idea that somebody would be offended, that's enough to light a little spark. With me, and I mean, if somebody thinks that I am being prejudiced or being offensive by saying that talking about a Chinese man eating with sticks is actually celebrating his culture, well, I disagree, but I respect that opinion, because America is founded on free speech, and I love free speech as long as it's not something that's offensive. Again, on the radio, not vulgar. It's cool with me. As I've gotten older, it's been more and more important. And being in radio, too, we love free speech. I mean, look at the diversity of guests you have on. From Barry Farber to Ed Asner, how much more diverse can you get than that?
Yeah, but don't you think that... I look at these things like syrup and kids' toys and books, and I start to wonder, you know, are we talking about these things because we've got real problems that we are not solving, like homelessness?
Quite possibly it's an escape, and that's what one of my, a friend of mine, I've known him for 20 years, and he's fairly liberal, but we were actually kind of talking about the fact that he said he's more of a moderate liberal. He agrees with me that the Democratic Party has gone so far to the left, he doesn't identify with it anymore. And I told him, I'm more of a liberal. However, I'm very capitalist. You know, I'm a business owner. That is part of it, but I've always felt that way. But on many issues, and remember, you and I talked about that once on the air, I'm very far to the left. And things like the masks, to me, that is a nonpartisan issue. That is a keep your laws off my body issue. And I see that as nonpartisan, even though I may seem very, very far to the right on that. I don't see that at all.
So it just depends how you interpret it. But yes, it is an escape. People are tired of the masks, about hearing us versus them on how we should control businesses during this situation. People are tired about the economy, about arguing about who won an election. And locally, we have the Jim Jordan scandal. This is a bit of an escape. And I can understand that. But instead, Scott, let's say to kids, let's go ahead and read Dr. Seuss, because his books were so cool. Just like with music. I mean, the music of today isn't even close to the music of the 70s and the 80s. I mean, there's an occasional good song, but I listened to really nothing after the late 80s, as you know. And with literature, yeah, there's good literature, but the stuff from Dr. Seuss, from Roald Dahl, other authors from my generation and before, you can't really beat that. Let's go ahead and celebrate Dr. Seuss. Let's read his books. And let's talk about the lessons that you learn. Let's read Aesop's Fables, where you can learn from mistakes and learn from life experiences, instead of trying to criticize all this stuff and pick it apart and find a part. It's almost like they're trying to find something that's offensive, because it's so well written. If it's not offensive, they're going to be disappointed, which is a glass half empty philosophy, which I don't think we need. We have enough negativity in the world right now.
Well, it just seemed to me like people are willing to fight about anything now, and I don't.
Correct. It is an escape, yeah, because people are tired about hearing about the masks and COVID and the election fraud, and you know, pick a controversial topic.
Yeah, but you know, even with masks and even with election fraud, there have been long-term systemic issues in this country that date back hundreds of years that we do not fix. And I don't understand why we take these issues that really, on the whole, affect very little people and make such gigantic... if I'm a private company and I'm selling hot dogs, and I don't want to sell a certain kind of hot dog anymore, and let's say there are 50 people who come into my restaurant every day and like that certain hot dog. Now, they can complain to me and tell me they're upset that I have removed that hot dog, but ultimately, that's my choice. For whatever reason, I removed it.
But it kind of gets to the pressure from cancel culture. The Mr. Potato Head, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, this is all ridiculous. I don't like political correctness in general. Some of it is just silly. Occasionally, I agree with it, and a lot of it is highly offensive to me.
But
GMAB is all I can say about that. Give me a break.
But why do private companies go with it? Why they must feel that if they don't change, they're going to suffer a loss, because these private companies really don't care about anybody's feelings, I'm sure. What they care about is the bottom line.
Yeah, and you can speak with your wallet for sure.
Right.
But
so
I just, for me, you know, I had not read Dr. Seuss in a while. You know, when you get older, time flies, and I realized how clever the guy was with these rhymes, because I do this, you know, with me too. I love language, so it's like, well, this is just wonderful. I mean, I almost cried when I heard the lady read the book. Plus, she did such a good job of voicing it, and you know, that's kind of in my field also. And it's like, okay, there's the offensive part. No, that's not offensive. It celebrates Asian culture, which again, it hits me another place too, because I love Asian culture and I love the food. And saying that a Chinese man was eating with sticks, that is not offensive.
Well, who?
That's like a radio announcer carrying his headphones. Well, yes, that's part of the business. We use headphones, and when Chinese people eat, most of them will eat with chopsticks, or at least it's part of the culture. You know, it's not necessarily one that you have to participate in.
Well, what group or person is trying to do this?
I'm sorry?
I say, what group or person is trying to ban these books?
Well, I don't think we should do that, because in America we have free speech.
Right. No, what I'm saying is, who is it? Who's suggesting that it should be done?
Yeah, I don't know the exact logistics of it, Scott, but it's blown up so much because we've had so much cancel culture. It's the same time that the Mr. Potato Head. It's just another issue, and I guess another nail in the coffin. I don't know what else to say. It's like we're losing all this great pop culture. Maybe that's it. Because Mr. Potato Head to me is pop culture. Because, you know, it's like Mr. Peanut. I guess
Wasn't Mr. Peanut retired and then he came back? That kind of didn't that happen last year? Like they said he died, then he came back for some reason. Certainly, Mr. Potato Head, if he's offensive, then Mr. Peanut would be. But I'm not offended by either. I think they're both cute. I love mascots.
Well, you know,
and Mr. Peanut's been one of my favorites also. And I used to play with Mr. Potato Head, and I'm glad there's a Mrs. Potato Head. There should be, but just making it Potato Head is stupid.
Yeah, but
human
you know,
beings have genders. We're male or female, and toys. It's a good idea to have them.
But, you know, I think in general, and it's one of the conversations we had last night because we were at a restaurant that's 95 years old, is that nostalgia is very interesting for people. And we talked a lot about drive-in theaters. You know, drive-in theaters were, we had two in the county of Marion. Now, we have zero these days. Now, the reason we have zero is not because anybody wanted to cancel these businesses. It's because they were no longer profitable. So they had to close down. But now, everybody says, boy, I would love to go to a drive-in theater.
Yeah.
It comes from the, well, if you know, if I never go away, how can you miss me? Seems to be the rule of thumb. But
talking about that with you or somebody else, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And as we look at doing things virtually and distancing, well, what's more distant than a drive-in movie theater? You and your party sit in the car and it's cold. You don't open the windows. I mean, I guess if you want to smoke, you would, but you're certainly 6 feet away from the other car. You're not sitting at a crowded theater in a chair that someone else sat in. I mean, who knows how clean that person was. You're certainly not 6 feet apart.
No, but
popcorn
I think
is good, but it's overpriced. With a drive-in, you could bring your own popcorn, your own, you know, if you're not driving, your own beer.
Well, I think that
and it is cool. It is cool to take a date there and make out. I mean, sometimes you realize that we're moving too fast, and drive-in movie theaters are something that was cool in the 50s, and they're cool in the 2020s.
Right. But I think what happens is I think much with Dr. Seuss. I mean, when is the last time somebody went out and bought one of these Dr. Seuss books? When is the last time somebody went out and bought a Mr. Potato Head? When is the last time somebody, I mean, does everybody just buy Aunt Jemima syrup? There are 1,000 different syrups on the rack.
I don't use pancake syrup. But,
right, so it's interesting to me.
I don't personally. I'm not a good person to ask us. I love pancakes, but I'm kind of weird the way I eat them.
Right, but
I love Dr. Seuss, but I'm a little too old at this point to buy them.
So
and Mr. Potato Head, I used to play with Mr. Potato Head, but that was a long time ago.
Right, so it seems to be more to me, not so much of what's being done now. It's just a nostalgic feeling about these things. And I'm not sure if that's the right answer or not, because I don't know about the group right now that is buying Dr. Seuss, that is buying Mr. Potato Head, that is buying Aunt Jemima syrup. Are they the ones, the consumer, who are buying these things, those aged people, are they the ones who are saying we need a change? Because if they're the ones buying and they are not going to buy because they feel there does need to be a change, well, you know, then I guess that's why the companies are making these decisions, and people who just have a nostalgic feeling about these things, who are no longer the consumers of them, I can see getting upset, but I can certainly see why the company is choosing to do something different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't specifically know, Scott, but I would put it in the general category of the political correct police. Or, you know, I call them politically correct wackos, and that's being kind. Something
well,
like
it's hard. It's hard
to
describe.
It's called cancel culture. I like that word, too. I mean, I don't always like these new expressions, but that's a good one. It's an alliteration, so yeah, it's cancel culture. Because people know what it is. And it's separated from politically correct because, again, I agree with some political correctness. Most I don't, and a lot of it I'm offended by. But this cancel culture is like, let's cancel out this great pop culture that we have. These cool toys that people of all ages played with.
Right.
Let's take away identities. No, that's not how we do things. I mean, it's a parent's decision. If I were a parent, I tell you right now, I would be getting every Dr. Seuss book available and reading it to my child. I'm going to read a few books myself, even as an adult, because the books are cute, and I want to show my support, even if it's through a virtual means.
Well, I guess the thing is that all things, I guess, have a finite time, and they all come to an end. And when I think about children, which is where a lot of this lies with Mr. Potato Head and certainly Dr. Seuss, you know, I certainly think about Mr. Rogers. Well, Mr. Rogers was on for a long time, but nobody is going to watch a live Mr. Rogers today because he decided to bring that show to an end at one point. So I think everything has a time and a place, I guess. But it's not that we can't watch Mr. Rogers today. We can watch repeats.
On Amazon and other services. I mean, I've watched some older shows. I remember I watched the first show. And I grew up with it as a kid. And now with our personal connection to Mr. Rogers, yeah, it's just cool to watch. Oh, yeah, that's Handyman Negri. I met him in Pittsburgh. There's our friend Mr. McFeely, you know. And there's King Friday the 13th. I always liked him. So... then he had his wife on a couple shows. We met her, and she just passed away. I mean, so there's sentimental value to a lot of this.
Right. So sure. I think a lot of it does have to do with nostalgia, and I guess we'll see how it all plays out. But my guess is, much like with Mr. Potato Head, it's not changing. And I don't think the Dr. Seuss company is going to start not manufacturing his books. And so life will go on, and we'll see if people still buy the syrup. I'm sure they will. If you like the taste of the syrup, you'll probably buy it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a different topic. But, you know, it's a lot of it, you give them an inch, they take a mile. So they cancel culture, talks about syrup, Uncle Ben's rice, other brands with an identity, and now we have kids' toys and kids' books in the mix. And what'll be next?
As we fly down the road.
That's kind of how things go, but yeah. For the record, if anybody is wondering, I'm highly offended by this. And including offended by what people are finding to be offensive. And, you know, me, I wrote this cute little rhyme, and maybe I'm being a little arrogant, but I kind of like it. It sounds like something Dr. Seuss would write. And well, so I kind of read it to you. Didn't do as good of a job as the lady who was reading the book, but kind of doing off the cuff. So what you hear is what you get.
Opinions are always welcome. Thanks, Adam.
Okay, Scott. Have a nice day, and thank you for taking my call.
Bye-bye. Again, the phone lines are open. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And if you'd like to comment on any of this, feel free. We welcome the phone calls. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
The whole Dr. Seuss thing, I don't think people realize that his own estate put that statement out, that they were pulling those certain books, and it basically to preserve his image as, you know, an American wholesome writer and kind of trying to stay with the times. But it was actually his own estate that is doing this.
So nobody's trying to ban these. The company itself is saying, we're not going to do this anymore.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. So did...
And it's just, you know... It's a weird time to do that, I think. There's so much, like Adam said, the whole cancel culture thing. People are so sensitive about everything. And I think they were trying to keep that in mind, but I think it kind of backfired. But yeah, it's actually his own state.
So did they give any kind of reasoning as to why they were doing this?
Other than they're just trying to preserve his image, you know, the book with the little Asian man and the slanted eyes, they pulled that one in particular because apparently it's doesn't put Asians in a good light. I don't see that at all. Like Adam said, we're all very different. We should celebrate each other's differences and not, you know, we're just all very different. And why do we have to all be just put into one mold and everybody has to be alike, like the same things? It's just not the way life should be. Their statement was they were just trying to preserve his wholesome American image and kind of stay with the times and the whole political correctness thing. And yeah, I think it just kind of backfired.
Well, it's interesting because if we look at a cancel culture and the way we use these terms and people who want to ban things, politically correct people, it doesn't sound like it was so much that. I think because to have a cancel culture and to be criticizing somebody for being politically correct, it would have to come from an outside source putting pressure.
Yep.
Yeah, so it just sounds like a company made a decision here based upon whatever they based it upon, that they felt they wanted to preserve this man's work in a certain light, And apparently that ticked off a lot of people. But, you know, it's interesting to me. And I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but we talk a lot about being free speech in this country. We talk about freedom of expression. We talk about free enterprise in this country and being capitalistic. Well, I mean, isn't that what this company's doing? They're making a capitalistic decision based on what they think is right and doing it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can kind of see both sides to this. I see their point of view. But I also think his work should be preserved as he wrote it. And we can look back and say, you know, look how things were back, you know, years ago. We've evolved. We've grown to accept everyone's differences. So I kind of see both sides of it there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you look at a lot of things, and I think of Southerners in general, they have been kind of depicted for a long, long time as being stupid and having weird accents and dressing in overalls and all this sort of thing. And that really is not an accurate depiction of all Southerners. Now, you know, I don't know if I was a Southerner if I would really like that particular depiction. So, you know, it's hard, I guess, because I guess over time we have evolved because we gave people characteristics that they never really had. I mean, I'm sure there were Southerners who did wear overalls who had very thick accents, but I don't know that it meant that they were stupid, and that was kind of always the depiction of how they were written or portrayed in books. I don't remember anybody in overalls ever being portrayed as just a genius.
Right. Yeah, we like to put people into boxes and categories and groups, and when we should be celebrating differences between all of us.
Right. Well, I appreciate that because I did not know that, and I think that's a very strong wrinkle to the story, that it was not an outside group, that it was the estate itself, which I'm sure involves some of his family members.
Yes, and I think I didn't know that either, and when Adam was talking, I thought, well, I'm going to Google and see who actually started this, and I was surprised to find that out. So I wonder if the majority of people don't realize that, and maybe if they did, they might understand it better.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I thank you for the info.
No problem.
Take
care. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. 740-383-9944. Got a few minutes left here. If the line's been ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on buzzing in. 740-383-9944. Well, there's another wrinkle in the whole story of the Dr. Seuss books. Apparently, it was not an outside faction that wanted to do away with these books or change them or whatever it may be. It was the company itself. It was his estate that wanted to do this, and I guess they're getting some kind of backlash for it, but ultimately I guess it will be their decision. They are a private company, and they can do what they want, much like the Potato Head controversy of last week. I don't know. It's, again, these issues in comparison to homelessness, which is a big one right now, I don't know which is more important and which we should be talking more about. But it goes as it goes. 740-383-9944. Now, the thing I was going to say about Put-in-Bay was when I was at Put-in-Bay last October, it was interesting to walk in, I believe, to the Heinemann Winery and see a picture of Mary Ellen Withrow up on the wall, an autographed picture of where she had been to the Heinemann Winery. And it reminded me last night that that is at Put-in-Bay, and the autographed hot dog bun is up at Tony Paco's. And now, here in Marion, the first time I believe this has happened in Marion, that Mary Ellen has autographed something that will be on display in a public restaurant, the Stewart's mug was autographed, and hopefully will be displayed somewhere there on maybe one of the back counters where people can see it. And there were some pictures taken last night, so maybe one of those will be run off and put with the picture or put with the mug. for nostalgic purposes. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to break here in about 30 seconds. Don't forget Glenn Coble on when this show goes off today from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Swap Shop today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. That's the rundown today. We have got news and weather and all kinds of good stuff coming up here during the 15-minute break. And again, thank the Marion Star for their story today in the paper. Back in 15.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. To legendary attorney and representatives O.J. Simpson and Sam Shepard.